This morning is a lesson that has grown on me for a while, and that's the way it is with some of the lessons that I bring to you. It has to grow on me for a while. I add to it, and I've added to this to the point that we may not get through it. We may consider it again from time to time. In the Old Testament, as we've been studying it, the theme of the Lord being our shepherd and we being his sheep is one that grows throughout the Old Testament. It's one that Larry has shared with us from John, that Jesus was the good shepherd. It's one that through the Psalms that David has shared with us in writing the Psalms. It's one that Isaiah the prophet has shared with us in talking about God being a shepherd. And one of the passages that we'll start with is one that you hear so often. It's a passage that's a favorite of mine, is Psalm 23. And you hear Psalm 23 so often at funerals. And you know, that's good, but that's bad. Because Psalm 23 isn't just a psalm for the dying, it's a psalm for the living. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's beautiful. And that's a psalm for every aspect of our lives. It's one for living. And I read it in various translations, and it almost seems like every translator is trying to grasp the full meaning of the psalm without really being able to do it. I read it in the King James Version because I thought that would be most familiar to you. He talks about how the Lord is our shepherd, our provider, our protector to those that follow him. And as we move through this this psalm, in verse 1 it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And you know, when you think about your life and our wants and our desires, his provision for our higher life is comprehensive of both the material and spiritual aspects of our life. You know, we watch TV and we see the commercials, and our lives are full of things that we've just got to have, isn't it? That's what a commercial is really all about. When you think about an advertising agency, what does an ad supposed to do? It's supposed to convince you that you cannot live your life without whatever they're advertising. And when you read the Psalms, our life really consists of living for the Lord, following him. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If God is our shepherd, if we're following him, I shall not want. Verse 2, he says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." It says the shepherd provides lush pastures which give the sheep an ample supply of food. When I was reading about this, I would read one commentary, then I would read another. And I didn't know this, but I learned the fact, a lot of things actually about sheep. And of course, we're the sheep in this particular passage. Did you know that sheep will only lie down if their stomachs are full? I didn't realize that. I learned that, and of course I'm relying on a commentary. If they say it, you know, I think, well, that must be, maybe that's so, or maybe it's not so. Maybe some of you that have some experience with sheep may know better than I do, or maybe better than the commentary does, but I don't know if that's so or not. But it says sheep will only lie down if their stomachs are full. Now, some of you that have to do with cows, I've heard that cows will only lie down if it's about to rain. Is that true? Is that true? Y'all know? Yes? No? You know, you're driving through the country, you see the cows lying down, you think, it's going to rain. That's what I've always been told. But if you see a sheep lying down, you know from now on their stomach is full. That's kind of like us. So you know we're sheep. You know where the Lord got that illustration. After Thanksgiving and Christmas, what do? You lay down and watch a ball game, don't you? Or you go hunting? I don't know. I thought that was an interesting illustration. It says, He leadeth me beside the still waters. And this is another thing I learned about sheep. You see a babbling brook. Now we find that relaxing, don't we? Sheep will not drink from a babbling brook. They're too nervous. They have to have still waters. And I didn't know that either. And I think back to when I was a kid. A lot of times we went to Lake Tenkiller. And the wind can blow in Oklahoma a little bit. Maybe a lot. And we used to like to fish and swim and water ski. And Lake Tenkiller can get pretty rough at times. You know, you'd look out there and you'd see those big white caps. And you learn to ski on rough water. Otherwise, you're not going to learn to ski, period. And you go out there on two skis and all those white caps and everything, you know, and you just yank your ski off. So you learn to ski on one ski pretty quick because that's just going to yank one ski right off. And you think about the fact that if you go out in the evening, though, I always remember that during the day, sometimes the water would be white capping, the wind would be blowing, and I always think back to the time when Jesus had that big storm, you know, and all that stuff going on. I'm sure that storm was greater than some of the stuff I saw on Lake Tenkiller, but there's been some big storms I was in over there. But in the evening, sometimes you would go out after all the water was doing all that white capping and stuff, and in the evenings, the water would be like glass. Even after it had been blowing during the day and the white caps and the rough water, and it would be tranquil and it would be quiet and it would be smooth, and you could go out and enjoy the water and it would be like glass. But sheep will not drink from noisy streams. I didn't realize that. Still waters speak of calm, peace, and serenity, and that's where the shepherd leads the sheep. Verse 3, he says, He restores and leads me. Now, sheep, what do? They tend to wander off. What do? We just kind of wander off sometimes, don't we? We get to looking around and wander this way, then that way, and then all of a sudden we find, wait a minute, we've got too far from where we need to be. And we've realized we've wandered away from where we need to be, close to the Lord. And we need to be brought back. I love the fact that the principle is stated in Matthew 18 and Luke 15 that Jesus brings that sheep back. Now what does he do? He leaves the group of sheep. And what does he do? He goes after what? One sheep. He goes after one sheep. What does that tell you and me? That we're important to the Lord. That no matter how insignificant you may think you are important to the Lord. He goes after one sheep. But you might say, but Lord, what about this whole flock of sheep? You're going after one sheep. But that one sheep is important to the Lord. And he tells us that in Matthew 18 and Luke 15. Read that when you get time on your own. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. When I read this, I was reading some of the commentaries, and it talked about the fact that this term was used to describe a narrow, treacherous path through the mountains which led from Jerusalem down to the Dead Sea. And that often robbers would lie in wait for people, and that they would rob people on this particular path at this particular time. And it was a scary passage if you had to go to the Dead Sea or went this particular way. And that this particular passage said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And when you think of your life, how many times do we all walk this valley of shadow of death? "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And we all walk that passage at some point in our lives. And it says that we will fear not because God is with us. He goes on to say, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, how will a rod and staff comfort me? When you see a shepherd's crook, on one end you have a rod, and on one end you have a staff. One end of the rod the shepherd carried was a blunt instrument which could be used as a weapon to protect the sheep. And on the other end was a crook so that the shepherd could lift sheep out of thickets, out of, if they fell off an embankment or something like that, he could lift them to safety. So in essence, what he's saying is that you're going to get yourself in trouble, and I'm going to use my rod and my staff to rescue you. And what that tells me is that in our lives, there's going to be some pitfalls. You're going to get yourself in trouble. But God's Word and the Lord is your shepherd. If you use Him as your shepherd, He will rescue you. Is the world going to rescue you? No. The world's going to laugh at you, make fun of you, drag you further down in the mud. The Lord will rescue you. That's the only rescue there is for you. And He will rescue you with your rod, with His rod and His staff. First part of verse 5, he says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." In the Eastern culture, and we've talked about this in our Wednesday night class, in the Eastern culture, it was common practice, if you had guests, to feed them. And he said, if you have special guests, you prepare a banquet for them. And this was the case here. I love the way the Message translates it. It says, "You serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies." You can always depend on the Message to come up with a loose translation. I saw a video this week of Eugene Peterson, who translated the Message. And his name escapes me now. The guy that's the lead singer for U2. And I'm not saying you also. I'm saying U2, the music group. Who? Bono, that's right. Bono. Bono, that's not a name I use a lot. Bono. It really was. It was a that's a funny name. Bono. That almost makes me think of a circus clown. Anyway, that's a bozo, isn't it? Okay, sorry. And you're going to think, where in the world did you see that video? I get these email updates from Crossway, who translated the English Standard Version. There's a story behind that. I felt like I had to explain myself why I was watching a video between Bono and Peterson. Crossway sends out these email updates, and there was a video on how the message, the Psalms, was translated. And I thought, well, that looks interesting. And so I clicked on it, and here Bono was going to see Eugene Peterson, who translated the Message, and he talked about the fact that the Message translation changed his life when he read the Psalms. And Eugene Peterson now is probably, I'd say, between 85 and 90. And he was visiting in Mr. Peterson's home, and they had an interesting discussion, and that's not related to this, but it just made me think of that video that I saw this week, and I couldn't think of that guy's name. Thank you. So anyway, you might check that out, because that was really interesting. And when I used the Message, it made me think about it. "But you served me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies," he says in Psalm, in the 23rd Psalm there from the Message, verse 5. The second part of that verse, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now, you have to look at the Bible not in view of the way we do things today. And we've talked about that in our Wednesday night class. Having your head anointed with oil may not sound like the greatest thing that's ever happened. In other words, if we said, you know what, after church today we're going to anoint people's head with oil, I probably would leave right after services. You know, I don't particularly care to have my head anointed with oil. That's not something we do in today's culture. But in the Eastern culture of that particular day, that environment was extremely dry. And people, I don't know that if they even invented showers in those days. But that was something that was refreshing, that was done for people's guests. And those oils were expensive. That wasn't something that you just run down to Walmart and buy something that you just anoint people's head with oil. This was something that was done as a kindness, as a special thing that you did for your guest. So this was something that the psalmist says that was done as a kindness. He says, in view of this, my cup runneth over. And you know, we've taken this phrase today, and we use a similar phrase to this when we talk about the fact that we have many blessings in our life. What do we say? My cup runs over. And that's just kind of evolved into our way of saying things. And the psalmist says, in view of all of the blessings that he's received, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. And there's so many things about, good things about Psalm 23, that the Lord is my shepherd. But you know, it's a promise made to people who have claimed the promises, who have become followers of Jesus, and who are in that situation where the Lord is their shepherd. Where the Lord is their shepherd. We've talked before about how John 10 talks about the fact that Jesus said he is the good shepherd. In the Old Testament, the figure of a shepherd was used in reference in Isaiah chapter 40 to describe the prophesied Messiah. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10 and 11, it says, behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather his lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, gently leading them, those who are with the young. And Jesus in the New Testament talked about the fact that he is the good shepherd. He said he lays down his life for the sheep. And he talks about how the hireling is just there to scatter the sheep like the wolf in John 10 verse 12. And in contrast, he says, John 10 and verse 13, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. He talks about how he maintains the flock. He knows his sheep, and his sheep are known by him, John 10 and verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. All through John 10, he talks about how his sheep know him and follow him. And we can continue all through John 10, seeing how they follow Jesus, how they're swift to hear his voice. And when you think about the fact that Jesus' sheep follow him, what's the antithesis of this? It means they do not follow the world. They're following Jesus, not following the world. We can make so many comparisons of this and talk about the fact that Jesus' sheep are those that are following his instructions. John 10 and verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Obedience. is a sign of their love. John 14:15, what Jesus say? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Then verse 28, hope. John 10:28, where Jesus is talking about he is the good shepherd. He says, and I give unto them what? Eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. And those that get the doctrine of once saved, always saved, use this particular verse where it says, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. But it doesn't talk about the fact that they can leave the flock. And that's a whole other lesson. But the point is, if you remain faithful to the Lord, you remain in that saved state. As we continue through John 10 and the application of him being the good shepherd and caring for his sheep, all through the Bible, we see the fact that the Lord continues to always care for his sheep. In the Old Testament, over and over again, he cared for his people. Psalm 104, verse 25 and 26, he talks about the fact that the God's provision. A lot of people will take the attitude that he doesn't care for certain people, certain situations that are his people, but he provides us the opportunity to work in the New Testament, the opportunity to do many things through his providence. Psalm 104, verse 25 and a few following says, here is the sea, vast and wide, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships move about in Leviathan, which you formed to play there. All of them wait for you to give them their food at the right time. When you give it to them, they gather it. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. The key there being, you gather it. You gather it. Meaning, the fact God makes it available. A lot of times we think about the fact that, we pray and thank God for food, but yet we're the ones that go out and work. But yet, we forget the fact the world turns at his word. The seasons change at his word. Days and nights, jobs, opportunities, the world works based upon the fact that he makes it work. These opportunities and things are available as a result of him causing it to be available. It's always been that way. And yet we forget so easily the fact that those things happen as a result of him. There are spiritual aspects of Psalm 23. First, we have to make sure it's the Lord who's our shepherd. In the Old Testament, there was a lot of shepherds who were false shepherds. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 2 and 3, he says, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Now, why is he saying prophesy against the shepherds of Israel? I thought shepherds were good. He says, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. In other words, these shepherds were feeding themselves and not the flock. They were false shepherds. They weren't like Jesus, the good shepherd, who was taking care of the flock. God feeds the sheep. Ezekiel 34 and 14 says, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Verse 15, I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, thus saith the Lord. So you can see that Jesus being the good shepherd, he feeds the flock. He's not like the false teachers. He restores the soul. And we can compare that to 1 John 1:9. which says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can continue to make so many comparisons to the fact that as sheep following the good shepherd, we have eternal life. One of the passages that speaks of eternal life is 1 John 5:13. Notice what John says. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Notice he says that you know that you have eternal life. Is it based on their goodness? No, it's not based on their goodness. It's based on what God has done for these people in the renewing of their lives in the new birth. Just like on the day of Pentecost, those people said, what should we do to be saved? And Peter, an inspired apostle, what did he say? You know it by heart. He said, repent. And repent means change your heart, change from sin, change the direction of your life. That's what repent means. And be baptized, what? For the forgiveness of your sins. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that brought salvation to these people. And the same thing that did it then does it now. The separation of the sheep and the goats that the Bible talks about is something that takes place in any judgment. We've studied about some of this in the Old Testament, where there's a judgment that takes place. There's a separation of the sheep and goats. And this particular principle is one that when the judgment comes, the sheep are the ones that are on his right hand and the goats are the ones on the left hand that are lost. In John chapter 10, verse 24 to 26, those that reject Jesus as their shepherd while on earth, they said this. They came. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. He said, you're not my sheep. You're not my sheep. Why? Because they didn't believe him. They didn't follow him. And he said, you're not my sheep. You're not my sheep. They weren't saved. They weren't saved. They had not done what Jesus said do to be saved. The most important thing you could do this very day is to make sure you are of that flock. If you walk away and not of that flock, Psalm 23 is not something you can claim. They could read it over and over at your passing, and it would be just another reading of wasted breath. If you need to respond to the invitation this morning, we pray you'd come as we stand and sing.